For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
I know personally I have not heard many preach, well actually I haven't heard any preach or teach on this subject, yet it is a subject that's covered quite a lot in Scripture. We're looking at tonight, God gives his beloved sleep. Now I'm not talking about spiritual slumber, where you're just not aware of spiritual things. There's all around us people in spiritual slumber. We're not talking about that. We're talking about physical sleep. And physical sleep is very, very important for us. The Lord has made it so that it's part of our everyday life. Everyone does it. But there is a lot of disrupted sleep. There's a lot of people with sleeplessness, with all types of problems in their sleep. So I'm assuming that you know certain things. For example, I'm assuming you know that if you have a huge meal just before you go to bed, then obviously that's going to be a factor in whether you have a good sleep or not, because your digestive system is working over that time. Also, if you have a strong coffee just before you go to bed, I'm assuming you understand that that's not exactly going to help you sleep either. So we want to look at what the Scripture says and approach it from a spiritual perspective, because a lot of sleep disruption is because of spiritual reasons, and that's very, very important for us to understand that, spiritual reasons. And we're not going to be talking about bad dreams or nightmares either, because you should be aware that if you do have a dream that says something bad to you, and you know that it's not from God, then you should cast down that imagination and fill it with, answer it with Scripture. If it's saying, "Oh, this is what's going to come and destroy you," well, you've got to cast that down. So we're not talking about that either. But when we do go to sleep, our spirits do not sleep. Our inner man is awake. Our inner man, particularly our spirits, don't sleep. Our heart is awake. Have a look at Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 2. And we'll just read a little bit of this. Song of Solomon is just after the book of Ecclesiastes. It's not often quoted, but we're going to quote this tonight. Song of Solomon, 5, verse 2. And it tells us that the sleep we're talking about, the physical sleep, is a sleep that is rejuvenating the body, but your heart is awake. Your heart is awake. Your spirit doesn't sleep. And we could talk a lot about the nature of dreams, but obviously, and you can see it through Scripture, God can talk to people in their sleep, and one way is through dreams and so on. But notice what it says in Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 2. I'll read the whole verse for the sake of coverage here. It says, "I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, my locks with the drops of the night." So you can see that in her sleep, physically she's asleep, but her heart is awake, and you can see the colon there shows that she is having some sort of a dream or thoughts whilst she's asleep. So I just want you to realise that your inner man is still awake, and there are still activities happening in your sleep. And this gives us a bit of an idea as to how sleep physically can be disrupted. Because if your heart is affected wrongly by wrong things, let's say fear and worry, you've probably heard people say, "I couldn't sleep last night because I was so worried about that." So there you are, you're getting a bit of an idea now of where disruption can come in. Have a look at John 14, verse 27, because as Christians, we take the word of God as truth, and we say, this is the reality in my life, and I'm going to enforce this in my life, and claim this as what has been given to me by God. John 14, verse 27. Let's look at that one. John 14, 27. And this is Jesus speaking. Notice what he says here. And I want you to think that it is relevant to you. It's relevant to us today. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So here he says that your heart could be troubled. Your heart could be troubled, but he also says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So what's that saying? Is Jesus saying, try not to let your heart be troubled? I know it's hard, but just try not to let your heart be troubled. No, he's giving a direction here. He's saying, you let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In other words, because of the peace that you have given by Jesus, you can say, I receive that peace, I claim that peace, and I thank you, Lord, for that peace in the name of Jesus. And because you've said, let not your heart be troubled, then I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. If a fear thought comes, if a worry thought comes, I'm going to cast that down. I'm going to say, no, in the name of Jesus, I fear no evil. Well, no, in the name of Jesus, God has delivered me from all my fears. I quoted scripture when I said those two things. Fear no evil, and God has delivered us from all our fears. They're scriptures. So you can see that if things come to trouble your heart, and I'm talking about this specifically because we're going to see that this type of thing can is a major problem in disrupted sleep. If things come to trouble your heart, then you need to deal with it. You don't pray to the Lord and say, Lord, get this trouble away from me. No, Jesus is saying, you let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He expects us to come against those things. He expects us because he's given us his peace. He's given us his peace. Say after me, I have the peace of God. I have the peace of God. I have the peace of Christ in me. Praise the Lord. See, it's not as the world gives. This is a peace that passes all understanding. Because you can have in your circumstances all types of things all around you. All types of problems. But you can have it because you've got the peace of God in you. You can have it so that those things can't get in you. Because that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to get in, get those troublesome thoughts in. He's firing the fiery darts at you. He fires them at Christians. But Christians can raise up the shield of faith, can't they? And they can say, no. What's the shield of faith based on? The word of God. No, I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. Jesus said for me not to let my heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, I say this because this is leading into something we're going to read in a minute. Have a look at 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 before we talk a little bit more about sleep. So what peace have we got? What peace have we got? We've got the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, haven't we? We've got the peace of the Lord Jesus. This is a good thing to say. You should say it. You should say it. I have the peace of Jesus in me. I have the peace of Jesus in me. And I let not my heart be troubled. There might be problems all around me. There might be storms of life around me. But I let not my heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, looking at 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, this is one we know quite well, but it bears looking at again. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, it says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Say after me, I have a spirit of power and of love
and
of a sound mind. So we know that this is what we've been given. Now, people walking by faith will say, okay, a spirit of fear can try to come against me, but I refuse to fear. I refuse to allow myself to have a troubled heart in the name of Jesus Christ. I refuse that because the reality is that I have been given a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what I enforce in my life. That is what the reality is. That's the truth. That's the truth based on Scripture. That's the truth. And it doesn't matter if I have all the symptoms of fear. It doesn't matter if these thoughts try to come against me. I refuse to allow that to let my heart be troubled. You have to come against it actively. You have to come against it actively. And this is something which we really need to grab hold of. Let's have a look at Psalm 4, verses 3 to 8. Now we look at what the psalmist says about sleep here in Psalm 4, verses 3 to 8. So if you've had a disrupted sleep, or if you can hardly remember a time when you had a good sleep, don't despair. Start to believe the word of God. Start to say, well, the word is true. The word is true, and that's what I believe. That's what I choose to believe. And start to say, when I lay down in the peace of Jesus, and I sleep. I sleep, and I have a sweet sleep. Psalm 4, verses 3 to 8. It says here, let's have a look. In Psalm 4, verses 3 to 8, starting from verse 3, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness, where? In my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in, what? Peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. So he's connecting here a few things with the heart. He's talking about commune with your own heart upon your bed. You know, you make sure that your heart is right before the Lord. You let not your heart be troubled. Notice what it says. Verse 6 talks about there's people that might question things about us or about you. And we say, and we should say, thank you, Lord, you've put gladness in my heart. You put gladness in my heart. And thank you, Lord, I will both lay me down in peace. I have the peace of Jesus in my heart. Okay? The peace of Jesus in my heart and sleep. So does he connect having peace, having gladness in your heart, and sleep? He does, doesn't he? He connects the state of the heart and sleep. He's saying, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, but thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. So you can trust the Lord. Now, you think about it, there's lots of people afraid, even afraid of the dark or afraid of things coming against them and so on. So fear, terror and oppression is what? Far from us. That's a good confession to make. Fear, terror and oppression is far from me. That's a good thing to say. And in respect with your sleep, you may not have had a good sleep for years. But you start to put into your mouth, or you put the scriptures into your heart, you start to put into your mouth the things related to this. You say, thank you, Lord. I thank you for the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ that he has given. And I refuse to let my heart be troubled. I thank you, Lord, that I have that peace. And when I lay down in peace. And when I lay down in peace and I sleep. Praise the Lord. So what are you starting to do? You're starting to believe what the scriptures say. And by doing that, you can act on the scriptures and it comes out of your mouth. If you don't do that, you're believing something else, aren't you? Now, our reliance should be on the Lord. Our reliance should be on the Lord because there's going to be... We live in a troubled world. We live in a world where peace is taken away from many people. We live in a world where there's worrisome things always happening. But God can make us to dwell in safety. The Bible says he is our fortress. He is our refuge. It's a good thing to confess. So I've been talking a lot about confessing, haven't I? We're talking a lot about putting things into your heart, making sure you know the scriptures. You know, if you doubled your concentration on the word of God tomorrow, that's not going to be a bad thing. You realise that? That'd be a good thing. If you said, I'm going to do twice what I do now, that's a good thing. I'm going to listen more rather than less to the word of God and the preaching of the word. That's a good thing. I'm going to read the word more and study it more. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Can you see what I'm saying? It's a good thing to get into the word of God. So you get into the word, you get it into your heart, and you start to speak it out. And if things come against that word, against your heart, you start to speak out. No, I have the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given his peace to me. He has given his peace to me. So we see here that the psalmist is saying that I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. So he's lying down in peace and he's sleeping. Praise the Lord. So continual disruption of sleep must be seen for what it is, a spiritual manifestation of something wrong. We do not have to have disturbed hearts. Let's have a look at someone who did have a disturbed heart and what happened to their sleep in Daniel 2, verse 1. Look at Daniel 2, verse 1. And you can see this often happens to people. And as I mentioned before, there's been people, and you might have had this experience yourself, you've been so worried or full of fear that sleep has been taken away from you. And that's a common experience, by the way. It's a common experience, like people worrying about their children or worrying about this happening or fearing something. We have to come against that type of thing. But here we see an example of someone who had their sleep disrupted, and you can see the connection between the heart and physical sleep here. It says, and in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep broke from him. Okay, so you can see that his spirit was what? Troubled. What are we commanded? Let not our hearts be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Okay? So a troubled heart will interrupt, and often in quite a drastic way in many people, will interrupt sleep. And, you know, we have to be aware of this. So I'm not talking about temporary disruptions. For example, you might have a feast. You might find, but even then, you should say, no, I can lie down and sleep and have a good time in the Lord when I sleep. So let's not allow ourselves to be restricted in this area, but say from now on, I'm going to have peace. I'm going to have a heart that's not troubled. I'm not going to allow trouble into my heart. And I'm going to have a peaceful sleep. Peaceful sleep. And I think you can start to see the idea of how disruption of sleep is related to the heart and what happens there. Have a look at Proverbs 3, verses 21 to 26. Proverbs 3, 21 to 26. So tonight is a healing meeting. It's a healing meeting. I will ask if people want prayer. There's also a meeting where we're learning. We're learning about this area so that you personally can take action and you don't rely on drugs to keep you asleep. You don't rely on anything else, but you're relying on the Lord. You're relying on what He has put into place spiritually. So Proverbs 3, 21 to 26. Let's read what it says here. And it says, "My son, let not them, talking about the words of God, depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be," what? "Afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet." Thy sleep shall be sweet. Verse 25 says, "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken." Now, I think you can see quite clearly here that God is showing us that if you're to have sweet sleep, and think about what sweet sleep is, it's refreshing sleep, isn't it? You wake up refreshed. You wake up and you think, I've often, when I've woken up out of such a sleep, I thought, "Oh, that was delicious." You know, it has a flavour to it that's beyond even just normal sleep. It's a sweet sleep. So here's a good thing for you to put into your mouth. You say, "When I lay down, I will not be afraid. Yea, I will lie down, and my sleep shall be sweet." So perhaps mark it down, Proverbs 3, verse 24, so that you can, when you get home, just before you go to sleep, say, "When I lie down, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to lie down, and my sleep shall be sweet. And in the name of Jesus, I come against anything which would try to disrupt that. In the name of Jesus, I am free indeed." Now you can see here, as we go through this, that there is a real key. Verse 21 says, "My son, let not them depart from thine eyes." In other words, you've got to get the Word of God into you. You've got to get the Word of God into you. In times past, I've noticed people who've tried to put positive confession into their mouth, but they haven't got the Word into them. They're not really Word people. And then they try to make the accusation that positive confession of the Word of God doesn't work. Well, see, their accusation is wrong, because it does work, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You see, you've got to mix your hearing with faith. You've got to let the Word of God come in. And notice what it says in verse 20. "So shall they be life unto," what? "Thy soul." Where's your soul? In your inner man, isn't it? It's going to be speaking into your mind, will and emotions. It's going to be doing a work in there. It's going to be life, and it says, "and grace to thy neck." So it's going to affect your body as well. Verse 23, "Then shalt thou walk," what's the "then" connected to? It's connected to not letting the Word of God depart from your eyes. "Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble." So if you gave double the priority of the Word of God tomorrow, do you think that's going to be a bad thing or a good thing? It'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? Be a good thing. Or what about if you'd give more priority on the Word than you did today? Do you think that'd be a bad thing or a good thing? It's a good thing. It's a good thing to invest more time, more effort into the Word of God. There's lots and lots scriptures full of advantages and benefits for doing that. So you get it into your heart. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. And then it says, when thou liest down, this is a real key for good sleep, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid, yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. So it's saying in verse 25, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Isn't that what Jesus said? Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Be not afraid. Who's it talking to? You and me. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord, so who are you relying on? The Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Here's another good thing to put into your mouth as well. The Lord is my confidence and he shall not keep my foot from being taken. What do you think that would be a good thing to put into your mouth every day? The Lord is your confidence? It's a good thing, isn't it? Do you think it'd be a good thing? You might not notice a huge amount of difference the first time you do this, but do you think it'd be a good thing to actually read this section of scripture just before you go to bed, if you've been having, or even if you haven't been having trouble, but especially if you've been having trouble, to read this just before you go to bed and then out of your mouth confess verse 24, when I lay down, I shall not be afraid, yea, I shall lie down and my sleep shall be sweet. And you might find that that night, just before you did that, your sleep's a little bit better than it was in the past. All right? You say to yourself, I'm going to persist in doing this. Do you think that's going to be a good thing to persist? Isn't that what Jesus said? Continue in my word. Continue in my word and you shall know the truth. Well, you know the truth in your inner man, and the truth shall make you free. And that means free from disruption, free from destruction, free from all types of fears, free from all types of things that might come against you and so on. But you've got to be a word person. You've got to be a word person. God is our confidence and shall keep our foot from being taken. I believe that if you did what I just said to you just then, that is, you take this section of scripture, you read it out loud with your mouth, read it out loud with your mouth so you can hear it and others can hear it, and then make verse 24, 25 and 26 a confession just before you go to bed, do you think you'll have a better sleep? If you believe it, you will. And then, as I said before, you keep on doing it, you keep on doing it, continuing, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's not just in this area, but in all areas of your life. Let's have a look at Isaiah 53 verse 5, because remember, Jesus has given us peace. Jesus has given us peace, and it's part of our redemption. In other words, we should be claiming that redemption as part of our life. Now that we are saved, if we've been people that have been born again, then now we are redeemed people, and we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Now in Isaiah 53 verse 5, it tells us a few things about what Jesus did in his provision of salvation, provision of redemption. And this is what it says: but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. Notice what it says here. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Notice those words, chastisement of our peace. That tells us whatever has come against your peace was upon him. Was upon him. Chastisement, punishment of your peace was upon him. And Jesus has given us his word that we have his peace now. His peace. And he said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, because you have his peace in you. So we can say, and you should go back to that scripture yourself, I will lay down in peace and I will have a good sleep. I'll lay down in peace and I'll have a good sleep. The chastisement of my peace was upon Jesus. So I don't have to be chastised in my peace anymore. I don't have to have problems disruption to my peace anymore, because Jesus has taken it for me. It was upon him. And notice what it says right next to that, and with his stripes we are healed. We are healed. You know, even if you've had some really horrible things in the past happen to you, and that has really done some damage in your soul and in your heart, you can receive healing for that, and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ can come in, and you can receive complete healing for that. So that, as we know, there are people who have gone through some horrific things, and they do need healing, because that takes away not just their sleep, but also disrupts their lives as well, just even normal working of their lives. So God can heal that type of thing and make it so that it's whole. So you have a whole spirit and soul and body. Praise the Lord. God is all about wholeness. He's all about a complete redemption. So the redemption of the Lord Jesus is not that, not just that his sins, that our sins and your sins, my sins were laid upon him, but that he has taken our sins upon himself. He who is sinless has taken our sins upon himself and was made a curse for us. So not just that, but also that he was made a curse for us. And you can see here that he was wounded for our transgressions, not his own, our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. If you believe that, if you take it and you say, thank you Lord, I am forgiven, thank you Lord, I am healed, I have the peace of Jesus, thank you Lord, I have restoration, I have complete redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know, we won't turn to it, but in Galatians 3:13 it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Made a curse for us. And so in redemption, anything that comes against our peace was placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to understand that, that it's not something we need to have disrupting us and causing us to not have peace. Just one last aspect of sleep. Let's have a look at Ephesians 1, verses 4 to 7. Ephesians 1, verses 4 to 7. Because the title is, God gives his beloved sleep. We have to see that what Jesus has done on the cross has made us now part of the body of Christ, part of the family of God. And so because of that, we in God have the righteousness of Jesus. We have his righteousness, not our own, but his righteousness. And because of that, we can walk in all the benefits of salvation, including having peace and having a sleep that is sweet and not disrupted. So Ephesians 1, verses 4 to 7, it says, according as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Notice that phrase there. We are accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We are accepted in the beloved. Now we are part of the beloved. And the fact is that we can call ourselves the beloved of God. And we have responded to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He came, he presented himself according to the good pleasure of God's will. And he has given a wonderful redemption now for us. And you know that redemption, the payment was his blood, as it says in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And we know that that redemption covers forgiveness and healing and prosperity and restoration and so on. So we know we have a full redemption. And so we'll finish with Psalm 127 verses 1 and 2. Psalm 127 verses 1 and 2. And I pray that tonight you have got more of an understanding now about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you, what peace you should have in you, and you do have if you have received Christ, and the connection between a lack of peace and your heart being troubled and a disrupted sleep. So we see these type of things. So Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord. Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. So who are we trusting? The Lord. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. What are people eating? The bread of sorrows. Okay, that's trouble and worry, isn't it? What are they doing? They're sitting up late, eating the bread of sorrows. Think about that. And God is saying it's vain for you to do that. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Where does sweet sleep come from? God. It comes from God, the Lord. Are you one of the beloved? Yes, you and me. We've been accepted in the beloved. We are part of Christ now. We're in the body. We've been redeemed. So do not practice vain things. As it says there, to eat the bread of sorrows, to be full of worry and fear and the cares of this life. But say, no, I cast all my care upon the Lord. I cast all my care upon the Lord, and I receive the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I claim that peace. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm one of your beloved and that you give me sleep. It's vain for me to be eating the bread of sorrows. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. But I'm going to have that sweet sleep that you promised that I could have. Praise the Lord. So listen to what I've said tonight. If you get the CD or the sermon and listen to this again, perhaps it'd be good for you if you have had trouble in this in the past. But I want to give you an opportunity. Let's all bow our heads tonight. I'll give you an opportunity that if you need prayer and restoration, don't think, well, it's been going on for years, it will never change. Never ever think that. God is the God of good change. Remember that. Good change, good things happening. And God wants to do a work in your life as you make decisions for him. Praise the Lord.